Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
Do you remember the drama that unfolded during President Clinton's scandal with White House intern Monica Lewinsky? I'm guessing you do if you're certainly over the age of 40. And even if you don't, we're going to learn from that drama of that historic time frame in Bill Clinton's presidency. Today, we continue our teaching series titled The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. And we're going to focus in on excuses today, the excuses that we give to ourselves, the excuses that we give to others. And it's in this trigger, it's in this stage that we start to justify what we just did. In other words, we try to convince other people, we try to convince ourselves how acting out in sin, how looking at pornography is actually a good idea. For those of you who are new to the podcast, the sex spiral is a set of awareness triggers that explain the location as to where you are inside this habit, this bondage, or this addiction to pornography. Make no doubt about it, man. This porn is a series of predictable habits. That's really good news to understand that these are predictable habits that we've created for ourselves. The bad news is that we don't realize it, but the better news is that as you listen, as you review, and as you start to apply this material to your lives, you will break free from the bondage of pornography. And you're going to do that by the grace of Almighty God. Jesus Christ did not die for your sin and rise from the dead for you to remain an addicted Christian. So let's get started with today's lesson. This is titled, Lessons Learned from Bill Clinton. Hebrews 12, verse 1 reads, "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, and he despised the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Lord, that is just an awesome passage to even read and comprehend and think about, that you endured the cross for the joy of despising our shame. And your work is done. You are now seated at the right hand of your Father. And Lord God, you give us this unbelievable privilege now to follow you. So thank you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for your grace and your mercy as we pursue your purity. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All righty. Yeah, if you guys didn't grab a worksheet, go ahead and do that. Turn to the first page in your binder with the actual diagram of the spiral itself. So starting at trigger number one, once again, this is the awareness phase, that we are consciously aware that I may be in trouble at this point. And I've got a couple choices to exit the cycle right then and there. I can confess, I can flee, and I can certainly pray. If I don't do that, then I move into my unhealthy thoughts or my shame, whatever my shame story is, that moves me down to the actual temptation. Temptation is my desire to commit the actual sin itself. But before I do that, I may or may not move into a series of resistance. I'm going to try not to do whatever it is that I want to do, and I'm going to try to do it by myself. Now, keep in mind, you can exit the spiral at any time. You can confess, you can call, and you can pray. You can do all three. If I don't exit at resistance, I'm going to start rationalizing my sin. Basically, I'm going to talk myself into my sin. And that's just one very quick, I deserve this. And boom, I'm through that. I'm going to then move into hiding for the very purpose of committing the sin. Trigger number 7 there is acting out in sin. And then I'm going to move into isolation or relational withdrawal. Trigger number 8 there. Because I don't like myself, I don't like people, and I don't like God, so I just want to be left alone. And tonight, that brings us to excuses or justification of what I just did. So that's where we are tonight. We are justifying what we just did. It's an excuse. I find it unbelievably comical that my example of justification has to deal with an old president, since we're talking about presidential elections and all the drama that's going on with that right now. And it actually has to deal with not Mrs. Clinton, but Mr. Clinton. I keep my comments to myself when it comes to the political scene. But let's review. Let's go back a few years in 1998 when President Clinton was governing our country here. So you guys obviously will remember this. This was 1998. It was in January. And President Clinton says, "I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm not going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never." I remember that clip. I remember him looking at the camera and telling us that. So Robert Bennett, who was Clinton's attorney, he stated that there is no sexual relationship between Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. That's what he said. President Clinton was asked for further clarification on that statement by the grand jury. This is what President Clinton said, and I'm going to read this verbatim. President Clinton said, "Well, it depends on what the meaning of the word is. If is means is and never has been, that is not. Well, that's one thing. If it means there is none, that was a completely true statement. Now, if someone asked me on that day, are you having any kind of sexual relations with Miss Lewinsky? That is, ask me a question in the present tense. I would have said no. And that would have been a completely true statement."
Sounds like when I talk to my wife. I explain what I've done.
I don't remember that.
I didn't do that today.
Did that make any sense to anybody? Right?
A little, but it's just doing the best you can to deflect.
To weasel out.
Exactly.
He is justifying his behavior, right? He can't answer the question directly. It's yes or no. Let's define what is. They have the whole transcript, and they did ask pretty revealing questions. Yeah. So 7 months later, this is in August, President Clinton says this, after all of that. So that was in January, this is now in August. "This afternoon in this room, from this chair, I testified before the Office of the Independent Counsel and the Grand Jury. I answered their questions truthfully, including questions about my private life, questions no American citizen would ever want to answer. Still, I must take complete responsibility for all of my actions, both public and private, and that is why I'm speaking to you tonight. As you know, in a deposition in January, I was asked questions about my relationship with Monica Lewinsky. And while my answers were legally correct, I did not volunteer information. Indeed, I did have a relationship with Miss Lewinsky that was not appropriate. In fact, it was wrong. It constituted a critical lapse in judgment and a personal failure on my part for which I am solely and completely responsible. But I told the grand jury today, and I say to you now, that at no time did I ask anyone to lie or hide or destroy evidence or to take any unlawful action. I know that my public comments and silence about this matter gave a false impression. I misled people, including even my wife. I deeply regret that. I can only tell you that I was motivated by many factors. First, by my desire to protect myself from the embarrassment of my own conduct. I was also very concerned about protecting my family. The fact that these questions were being asked in a politically inspired lawsuit, which has since been dismissed, was a consideration too. The independent counsel investigation moved on to my staff and my friends and then to my private life, and now the investigation itself is under investigation. This has gone on for way too long. It's cost too much and it's hurt too many innocent people. And now that this matter is between me and the two people I most love, my wife and my daughter, oh, and our God, I must put it right, and I'm prepared to do whatever it takes to do so. Nothing is more important to me personally, but it is private, and I intend to reclaim my family life for my family. Besides, it's nobody's business but ours. Even presidents have private lives. It's time to stop the pursuit of personal destruction and the prying into private lives and get on with our national life. Our country has been distracted by this matter for too long, and I take my responsibility for my part in all of this. And that's all I can do. And now it's time to move on. So tonight, I ask you to turn away from this spectacle of the past 7 months to repair the fabric of our national discourse and to return our attention to all the challenges and the promise of the American century. So Bill Clinton, he was the 42nd president of the United States. He was impeached by the House of Representatives on two charges, one on perjury and the other obstruction of justice. Charges stemmed from his extramarital affair with White House intern Monica Lewinsky, and also his testimony about their affair during a sexual harassment lawsuit filed against Paula Jones. And he was acquitted of these charges by the Senate later in February. Now, it's easy to pick on President Clinton, right? And you see the fallout from all of that. At the end of the day, he had sex with somebody who wasn't his wife. All the lying, all the lawsuits, all the betrayal. And at the end of the day, we're all rationalizers in this room, right? We've all rationalized our sin. We've all justified our behavior. We always have an excuse, don't we? We always have an absurd answer. And it really is absurd. Like when you are literally at that rationalization trigger number five, when you find yourself starting to talk yourself into doing something, if you would call your partner and go, this is the excuse that I'm giving myself right now. This is why I'm going to talk myself. And you would go, you're a fool. And we need someone to call us a fool at that moment, because if we don't have somebody to shock us out of our complacency, we're just going to continue to do what we've always done, right?
But then a week later, I'll try to use the same excuse as he just gave me, or someone just gave me. See it completely differently.
That's a really good point. And that shows how deep the stuff runs, how powerful it is. It depends on what the meaning of the word is. if is means is and never has been, well. But see, that kind of answer, it just makes total sense to us. Because we're caught in this spiral. I'm praying for those of us who have been stuck in the sex spiral, that we begin to see how ridiculous our excuses really are, for us to realize that we are so isolated, and we're just so alone that we think this stuff up, and that we actually talk ourselves into believing our own lies. And if you've been stuck in the spiral for some time, maybe you're beginning to realize that no one buys this stuff anymore. And after time, not even you, you're going to believe it. Maybe you're a spouse who thinks that you're losing your mind because the excuses and all the things that just don't make sense. Well, you're not losing your mind. You have no idea how many wives tell me that. The reality is that your husband can't keep his story straight. So he continues to make things up as he goes. He's blaming you all the way through it. And in fact, it's really scary, isn't it? How good he is at this. But it's not going to last long. His foundation is built on shifting sand, and his world will come crashing down around him. That's just the way it plays out. In fact, let me recommend a book for all of you on the other side of sexual sin or any kind of addiction. It's called Smoke and Mirrors, The Magical World of Chemical Dependency, and it's by Dorothy Marie England. It's going to show you all the games that we as addicts play. And we play games because we think we're still in control. But the reality is that we're just isolated and alone. For those of us wrapped up in bondage to pornography or any other addiction, did you know that it only takes one godly friend to change your life? One person. Notice I said godly friend, not some knucklehead that encourages you to keep on doing what you're doing. That's not a friend. Just one godly man, if you're a man, and one godly woman, if you're a woman. And don't fool yourself into thinking that it can work the other way. Proverbs 13:20 reads, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Proverbs 17:17, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." So do you have a friend that's going to speak truth to you when you get all sideways with this stuff? Do you have someone who will love you that much to get in your face and call you out? And if you don't, I want to encourage you to go out of your way today to be a friend. And most of us, we don't have friends because we don't know how to be a friend. Pornography specifically makes us antisocial. And a key way to start new friendships in our lives is by serving at your church. When you get involved and you start to serve other people, man, just watch what happens. It is so cool. Simply go, just ask somebody, ask the pastor what you need help with. Something as simple as being a greeter and handing out bulletins will work miracles in your life. And lastly, I pray that your online life is the same as your real life, that you recognize that you are indeed justifying why you don't need an internet filter on your phone or your computer or your tablet. That's exactly what justification is. What exactly are your excuses today? Were they the same as yesterday? I've been using Covenant Eyes internet filtering software for years. And if you do not have a filter on your computer, your phones, your tablets, let me encourage you to visit CovenantEyes.com today. And when you do, you're going to receive a 30-day free trial. All you have to do is put my full name in the promo box. And when you sign up, you're supporting the Ministry of Seven Places and this podcast. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. I'm Dustin Daniels. If you're in Phoenix, let me invite you to our weekly Grace Group. It's a weekly community group. It's for men and women, husbands and wives. It doesn't matter if you're single, together, divorced. Everybody is welcome. And you're invited to listen to God with us. every Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Northern Hills Community Church. I would love to meet you. We are in Building A, room 301. You can follow me on Twitter at Purity Pastor, and you can email me your questions. I would love to hear from you. Visit DustinDanielsRadio.com. 1 Corinthians 4:20 reads, "The kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living in God's power. And that power is the very name. It's the shed blood of Jesus Christ." I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.